Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sub Pub Podcast. I'm Danny Moreno.
And I'm MK Sullivan. And today we're just going to kind of chit chat and catch up on the last couple weeks since we took a bit of a break.
Yes, lots of race results, kind of. It's kind of like in this transition part of the year now. But then also some other fun stuff like team camps that we'll talk about. And the latest OCC entry list, I guess they did like a review of the top contenders for UTMB and OCC. CCC is still TBD. So yeah, we'll kind of cover a little bit of everything today.
Yeah. And if you guys haven't seen on Instagram yet, we are officially going to be the English media partner for Skyrunner for the 2024 season, which just kicked off last two weekends ago once this comes out, so first weekend of March, at Encantilados del Norte, which happened on the island of La Palma. And yeah, that we're very excited about being partners with Skyrunner this year.
Yeah, it's super, super exciting to be covering content for that series. It's really cool that they've added more races this year. In our last couple of episodes, of course, we've gone over what races those are and just some of the rules for the series. But this first race took off and it was in the Canary Islands. And if you haven't checked out the content yet, highly recommend. We did predict it was going to be a bit windy just looking at the forecast and looking at the short video snippet. It does look like it was pretty windy, but also that the trail was pretty guarded in a lot of spots. Like they were running alongside the cliffs. It didn't look so exposed the entire time. But this race looked gorgeous, like the trail and everything. The course also looked relentless. I mean, it roughly ran 17 to 18 miles, depending on the tangents. Maybe you saw Manuel Marias just like cutting down the mountainside. So his was probably closer to 17 miles. Mine probably would have been 19 miles somehow. And it still had 7,000 feet of vert in like roughly 3 to 4 climbs with 2 major descents. So it was a lot of like steep power hiking, it looked like on the videos as well. And then it looked as if the, like from miles 13 on, were the toughest miles by far of the course, just looking at people's splits and everything. But it's definitely a race I would probably consider going to just because it looked gorgeous. What about you?
Yeah, having been on the island at the same time that it was happening, I can confirm that it was very windy, but I was actually on the other side of the island, which I think, like you said, was more windy. They were a bit more protected because we kept saying like, oh, we should go down, or I guess up to the north side of the island because it seems like it's way better over there. And we never got over there, but I would definitely run that race. It, like, the trails there are like, you know, this is coming from MK, the not so technical runner. Like the trails there are pretty chill compared to what I've seen a lot of Sky Race videos look like. So yeah, I would definitely give this Acantilados del Norte a chance. But those climbs were no joke. I did a run on the island that was 15 miles with 7,000 feet, but it was all uphill. And these people, they were doing uphill and downhill. So just like half the time in terms of the climbing, right? Like I did it in 15. They basically did it in like 8. Just so much more painful.
Yeah, no, it definitely looked like a brutal but most beautiful course that you can check out. And yeah, what's really cool is they kicked off their year, so they are, you know, continuing to go forward. Their next race will be the Calamaro Sky Race, which we will preview as we get closer to that. But as far as how the races played out, they seem to play out pretty similarly in that both of them had strong front runners who got out into the lead pretty early and were able to hold on. On the men's side, Roberto De Lorenzini, who's someone that we did predict would be on the podium, ended up winning the entire race. And yeah, he was out there, put 2 minutes on going into that first split, and then added another minute onto eventual second place finisher Manuel Marias. So yeah, he was pretty much out there. Frederik Thanchard also kind of battled up with him in the front, but eventually faded to fourth. But yeah, what were those finishing times, MK?
Yeah, so oh, I have the women's open, so give me 1 second here. But so we had first place Roberto De Lorenzi, and he ran 2:31:41. Second place was Manuel Marias at 2:34:48. Third place was Daniel Osanz at 2:36:35, and then fourth was Frederick Trenchant. His name always trips me up. At 2:37:25. So, I mean, they were all pretty close together for the fact that it was like a 2.5 hour race.
Yeah, definitely. And watching, I think it was like second through fourth place, maybe they have some video snippets of them running on the downhill. At first, looking at the side profile, you're like, yeah, they're moving pretty well. But then they like show the type of terrain they're actually covering. You're like, wow, they are sending it hard, all
They're
that stuff, right?
hammering.
They're hammering right now. So that was really impressive to see. And then on the women's side, the winner, Lide Aguirre, she is unknown to us. We tried finding her on the UTMB index, nothing there. MK found like a couple of years old results on ITRA, but she's a
But only
young,
one race.
but only run one race, and she's a young
Yeah.
Spanish runner, 25 years old is what we have found. But yeah, she took the lead pretty early on, like 5K in, and then just was up there the entire time, separated herself early. And then Bailey Kwalsik, the lone American woman over there, at least from what we could see in that top 10, was battling with Oyana Cortazar. She's a Spanish runner who just, she's always very strong as the season's like start. Like every single
Yeah.
year, she comes out with a bang and she can maintain that for a very long time. So it wasn't surprising to see her up there. But her and Bailey were going back and forth. And then about 10K in, eventual second place winner or second placer, what's her name again?
Naira Irigoyen.
Naira
Irigoyen.
Irigoyen. She's also Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. She
Yeah.
passed
The
them
podium on the women's side was Spanish,
all
which is
Spanish.
cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
She eventually passed them on some like strong, on some technical downhills and then just like held it. And then Oyana and Bailey were kind of going back and forth the entire race, and then Oyana held her off through the last little bit. But I did see Bailey says she has like a nerve thing going on, so hopefully she can get that sorted, because I've never had a nerve thing. Have you had a nerve thing? I just
Yeah,
like,
I have.
really? How painful is that?
Yeah. It just like it's pretty bad because it starts in your back and it'll go all the way down to like your foot. And so, yeah, that downhill is just you like can't really do anything about it. I think it happened to me on like an FKT attempt that I did, and I just kept having to like lay down on the ground and like try to nerve floss my body, but like you can't do that during a race.
Yeah, that just
Yeah.
sounds painful. I've never had a nerve thing, but I've had friends who have had it, and it just seems like it could potentially be very chronic if it's not able to heal up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to loosen up those glutes.
Loosen up the
That's what always
glutes.
gets me, at least.
Oh, man.
It's like my butt muscles just like get so tight and then it's pushing on the nerves and it's
That
not
sounds
fun.
painful. That, yeah, that doesn't sound ideal for any type of running, but especially technical mountain running.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully Bailey can get that sorted. I know, or we know that she has some big races on her calendar this year. But yeah, super
I
fun
think
for
she's
sure.
doing Kalamoro.
I
The next one.
maybe I think she might be heading back to like get the nerve thing figured out. But that,
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that is
yeah.
on her calendar though. And then for sure is the
'Cause it's like a
gala.
month away. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
So yeah, our top four, we got Lide Aguirre and 3:04:39, Naira Irigoyen in 3:06:29, Oyana Cortazar in 3:10:26, and Bailey Kwalchik in 3:13:08. So a bit more spread out on than the men's race, but that's like pretty typical, I feel like, in like these kind of mid-D races. Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
What does that even
But
mean?
in the ultra world, it is mid distance, I guess.
Oh, mid Diaz and middle distance. I did not. I was just laughing because you were laughing, but I didn't know what that meant. Mid D. Okay, cool. Yeah, that is, I mean, time-wise, 3 hours for 17 miles. That's a long time to be out there.
With that much gain. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but like I said, top three on the women's side, all Spanish, which is pretty cool. On the men's side, second and third place were Spanish athletes. And it's funny because when I first saw these results, I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like local athletes, like they know the trails. But the Canary Islands are basically in Africa. So that's like not really that true. Maybe they just, it's that they travel less than everyone else.
Yeah, maybe there has to be direct flights from Spain to the Canary Islands. Like if it's wow, am I stuttering today? If it's part of your like it's like a province of it, province?
Yeah, it is a territory of Spain.
Yeah, I would imagine they would have direct flights from Spain, right?
Yeah, from Madrid is where I flew in from, Madrid de La Palma. So that's pretty easy.
That's pretty easy, yeah. Well, the Spanish have a chance to shine in the next one because that will be in Benalmadena, Spain, is the Calahorra Sky Race. And then following after that, we'll have the Sky Race des Mathésins, which is a big one in France, just from seeing people do it over the years. So yeah, that's the kickoff to the Skyrunner series. Keep following the pod for more info on those upcoming races. And we'll also have them featured in our newsletter like we did in our first newsletter. And if you haven't already subscribed, please do. We're really excited about that. Subhub Headlines.
Yeah,
Plug.
we had a pretty good response like that first day that we put it out. We got a lot of subscribers, but we're hoping for more. So if you guys want our hot takes, I mean, we give them here too, but like these are kind of more, I guess, more big picture stuff. And then I think another thing that we're kind of hoping for as well is that by having these results in front of you guys a little bit more frequently, that we can put some more sub ultra athletes in our free trail runner of the year at the end.
Yep. Personal agenda out in the open. That's really what it's about.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at NeverSecond. NeverSecond uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. As a professional athlete, I was introduced to NeverSecond about a year ago after a rough race at the Mont Blanc Marathon. I was trying to take in gels that required a lot of water, but without a crew and the fact that there weren't enough aid stations to adequately match my intake, it became quite the struggle of a day. After that experience, I started using NeverSecond in training because their liquid gels weren't as sticky and require less water and are much easier to get down, making my race day and training nutrition immediately more successful and simple. And if you want to try NeverSecond, just head to neversecond.com, NEVER number 2.com, and use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders.
Since you were in the Canary Islands, what were you doing there, MK?
I was not running a sky race. I tried to convince Rick to let me do it, but by Saturday, I was like, oh my God, I'd be dead. Because I was at team camp, which last year, I think we did an episode that we kind of chatted about team camps last year too. But last year, the craft team went to Madeira. This year, we went to La Palma, which was a lot of fun. I mean, it's cool to hang out with my teammates because we're teammates, but it's not like we're in a track club where we train together and we like race together. I mean, half of the time we're not even doing the same races because we're all such different athletes from different parts of the world. And so, yeah, it's fun to get together once a year and just like hang out with these people, especially since I'm the baby on the team, like I'm the youngest. And so, I get to like learn from them a bit. But also I got dropped so hard on the day one on our run that I wasn't even included in the Strava. Like there was a group up front and then there was They're all attached to each other on Strava. And then there's MK just by herself. I was like, okay, guys, I like literally can't run this pace.
That is pretty interesting because when I think of what makes up various teams in our sport, I didn't realize, yeah, Kraft has like a lot of more seasoned veteran runners on the team. Yeah, you're like, yeah, you're not a baby, but like you're one of the younger runners. That's so crazy to me. Yeah.
Because our team is pretty small. It's Tim Tolson, David Laney, Ida Nielsen, Aroa Sio, Arlen Glick, and myself, and then Tommy Rives. And so Arlen, I'm 29. I think Arlen's either 30 or 31, and then everybody else is like 35 plus. And but they've also been in the sport for like years.
Yeah.
Whereas like Arlen and I are still relatively new to the sport, I would say. So yeah, it's kind of a big range there. But I thought camp was a little bit better this year for me. I don't remember what I talked about last year, but last year was it was just so busy. Like we were doing photo shoots every day and then trying to run and also like trying to hang out. Whereas like this year we did it a little bit differently where it was way more focused on like training. But then I did have one day where I spent 10 whole hours filming, which was
Whoa.
a lot,
Yeah.
but I would rather have one day where like it's just like you're not gonna be able to run, so just get that out of your head. We're gonna focus on filming the entire day, and then like the rest of the days are like running and then like hanging out by the pool and eating with the team. So I really enjoyed that aspect. And the filming was so interesting because there was I was like the road person for all of this filming that we were doing. And so they'd like get in the car, the videographers, and they'd be like, okay, we're gonna go at 10 miles an hour. And they'd be on like a slight incline, of course. So try to keep up. And I like, of course, had no warm up. Like I'm just like sprinting after this car, like doing a full interval. I thought it was so hard, but they were like trying to get, like
Fast footage.
actual footage of like me running, but also of me being tired. And it worked because they kept
Oh.
making me do like 90-second intervals basically behind the car. Oh, but it was cool.
That's cool. Do you overall you think it's beneficial?
Yeah, I think the Canary Islands are so far. Like, that's the only downside, maybe, is just like it's like a 27-hour travel day to get there. And then we all had to stay the night somewhere on the way back just because that was how travel works that day. And so on the way back, it was like 36 hours or something.
Yeah, I saw your little
That's
layover
just,
in Madrid or something like that.
Tim and Arlen and I had a layover in Madrid. And like, it's not too bad, honestly. Like, made it better because then we just had one long flight back to the US, but
Yeah.
it's just, it's a lot of travel. It made me glad that I'm not doing Zagama at the moment because I was just like, I got back and I was like, oof, I don't have to travel to Europe again until OCC, I think.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, nice.
yeah, that'll be nice. After last year, I just did too much.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that for sure. Yeah, it's just the long travel and everything. My team camp is now coming up, so I am leaving this weekend. And then what's nice is we have like a couple days in Germany to kind of break it up. And then we go to the Canary Islands, and then it's the long haul back. And then I will be in Auburn with a couple of teammates for a little bit longer to scope out that course area. One can probably assume what it's for one of our teammates. And then I'll head home. So I'm not going to be home for a bit, but I am looking forward to it. And I do remember last year having felt the benefit of team camp, but I did like when I finally got home and had back to just like my routine and stuff like that. So, but yeah, looking
Yeah,
forward
it's
to
a
it.
little bit different because there's no like agenda in the sense like, oh, I'm going over here to do a race. So like that's what I'm here for. It's like weird, I think, because it's kind of vacation, but it's mostly work. And so, but there's not a race. I don't know. It's a weird in between trip.
Yeah, definitely. This year we gave feedback. So this year we have scheduled sessions each day, which I think all of
Yeah.
us are gonna like because last year it was you just wake up and be ask everyone, what are you doing? Granted, this was in Sedona with like just the Americans and a couple of people raised Black
Yeah.
Canyons. But yeah. TBD on that. But shall we dive into the most recent hot news, hot off the press? Start lists for OCC has been released. This list is mainly just like headliner names along with some other notable folks to be considered, but they released the list for both men and women on iRunFar, where it's UTMB and OCC, but there's no CCC yet. No one knows why that is,
Yeah, that's so
but
weird.
the only thing I could think of is, like, for example, last year with Kodiak, that technically qualified me for OCC or CCC. So
Yeah.
maybe some people are still deciding, even though they like pressed us to decide before we entered. Like, when you
Or
entered.
maybe UTMB isn't making the decision. Like, even though we had to make the decision, they're not making the decision until April, because that's like the deadline that they gave people to extend their qualification, if I
Oh,
remember
really?
correctly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, remember that was like a whole thing. Like, you had to get approved to get extended, and not everybody did, but a few people did. So I don't know. Maybe that's part of it. We don't know why there's no CCC list.
Yeah, I don't know why that would affect just CCC, but yes, that is a caveat for people to know is like there's not a lot of people, but there's a small handful of very heavy hitters who have still yet to qualify. Because they gave us this deferral rule at the end of last year because of all the, I don't even know what to call it.
Last minute changes.
Yeah, last minute changes. So,
Yeah,
for
like
example,
totally last minute.
like myself, along with many other runners, we all ended up at Kodiak because
Yeah.
that was the last US race to qualify. And at least for myself, I didn't want to fly all the way to, I think it was Sweden to qualify or Thailand or something
Yeah.
like that. And so with that, I technically could have asked for an extension through this year, but I just wanted to get it done. But some people did accept that extension. So,
But a lot of people didn't get approved for it. Like, so that's another risk, right? Is like, you could have been like, oh, I'll just apply and I'll be fine. But I heard of several people who, like, they were like, nope, sorry, like, you don't get this extension.
Oh,
So,
interesting. Okay, I didn't hear that. I'd only heard of people who
yeah.
had gotten accepted. So, yeah, so expect maybe a couple more names, but not like 10. I think it'd be
No,
like less than
yeah.
10.
I think it's pretty set for the most part.
Yeah. First question, are you surprised by this list?
No,
Yeah.
I'm not. I knew it was going to be just as stacked this year as it was last year, and if not more, because now people are like wanting to qualify. Whereas last year was still, I think, like a middle ground where like it was a little confusing because you couldn't get in on points anymore. And so some people didn't like hadn't qualified for this for last year. So I figured that this year would be even more stacked, and it's already looking to be that way.
Totally. Yeah. And I think even with all of the attention UTMB kind of got at the end of last year going into this year, I still expected this list to look this way, even with all of
Yeah.
that. Just with the, I mean, if you're going down the boxes and you're sponsored, the exposure this race gives you, it still has the notoriety of like, if you podium here, top five or top 10, like that's something you add to your resume, financially, like incentivized. And then also just like brands and their priorities. Like
Yeah.
I wouldn't bat an eye to say probably every single brand that's trying to get athletes here already planned this year's agenda like a year and a half
Oh
ago,
yeah.
like even
Yeah,
before.
you have to.
Yeah, you have to because it's just so
Yeah.
nuts. And so yeah, I still expected all these athletes. And kind of when we talked about UTMB as an organization months ago, I forget which episode that was, like We had mentioned that we expected, or our prediction was that conversations would still be going on with PTRA and stuff like that. And that has been happening. Like, we can't say what they have been, but like that has been happening. And so there is work being done still also. So I think that's also why there's not many names missing from this list.
Yeah, because the other thing it is like you can sign up for a race and then decide, 2 months out that you're like morally against whatever's going on. But if you don't sign up and things change, like then you're off the list and like that's you have to wait until next year or not do whatever or whatever. But there was a lot of heat on Twitter about how many American names are still on this list. But yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, myself being one of them, I'm not surprised.
I think, the word boycott was used quite a bit on Twitter. And I think people potentially confused the letter that Zach sent out and
With
Killian.
Killian.
And again, like, neither of us received a letter. It was very, very, very few. It's not clear exactly who, but it was very,
Who
very
got it?
few people who got the letter. So it wasn't like a across the board, every professional athlete was being sent this message.
And Danny and I were talking about it offline because we were just talking about the, I guess, like the comparison of like trail to road running, because there were some comments about how like professional athletes don't choose to do like local races anymore. And so we were like in our equivalent, so that we tried to think of what our equivalent would be, and that would be like probably road marathoning. And if you look at like the top 10 men and women in the US, are they running local races, like local marathons, local half marathons in their year? Ever.
It's
I
very
mean, I
rare.
don't think so.
Very, very, very seldomly is that happening.
They're going to majors. They're going to Olympic trials like that, but the majors is like the main thing for like a professional marathon athlete, and it's because there's money there. A lot of the times they get paid to show up. Like Emma Bates
Appearance fees.
got a huge payment for Chicago Marathon, and she finished the race despite being hurt so that she could get paid. Like, that's part of being a professional athlete. And, so I just, yeah, I thought that was interesting that, like, there seems to be a bit of an idea that in the trail world, you have to be more community based. And I think it's okay to like run. We're more likely to run community races, that's for sure. But you still have to go to these races. I mean, you don't have to. You still want to go to these races to like make some money, put your name out there, race the most competitive people. So it's just, yeah, definitely an interesting thought.
Yeah, we're held to a different standard for sure. And that probably is hand in hand with the fact that it's actively being professionalized while we're in the sport. Like, it isn't settled, like already situated. But yeah, with like road marathoners, it'd be interesting to see their schedules and like whether or not they are criticized. Because I guarantee you, someone like Emma Bates, every single race she is making money no matter what. And that's a good thing. Like for her, and like we want to see her at those races. We want to see her run fast times. And that isn't quite translated to trail running, where it's like, no, you shouldn't go to this race where you're compared against the best in the world. You should go to this smaller race. Obviously, this is an oversimplification of it, but like just to dramatize, to like hit the points, like you should go to this smaller race and support this local community and just like potentially win by yourself and run by yourself because that's better for the sport. It's like, yeah, there's a time and place for that. But also, I'm at a point in my life where personally, like, I want to race the best as often as possible. And like, I'm at a time in my life where I'm putting all my eggs into this basket. So I want to see the best I could possibly be. And I'll do more of those races once I'm retired from like the professional side. But right now, I'm in the professional side and I'm like all gas, full gas in.
And I would argue that like Just trail running is a little bit different because we can go to these big events like OCC, but you and I are still putting like community races in our schedule. Like you were supposed to run Way Too Cool, it got canceled. I ran Formidable last year. I ran Mammoth Trail Fest. Like we're not like fully like no way, no community races, but it's like, but yes, I'm still gonna run this Golden Trail World Series event or this UTMB event or this Skyrunner event. Like I'm gonna go where the competition is because that's why I do this.
I feel like we checked a lot of boxes there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
But
just trying to be real with you all, like why we signed
yeah.
up for OCC. Like we want to race the best, and that's where the best currently are right now, and
I
probably
want to
for
raise
the
Danny
near
Moreno, and
future.
that's the I want to race Danny Moreno, and that's the only place I can find her.
Yes, I'm not racing Canyon's 100K.
Oh,
No, I love
God,
it.
I forgot I was doing that.
Yeah, that's gonna be sick. SubHub is taking out Canyon's full throttle, 50K and 100K.
Yeah,
It's coming up
let's
quick.
go.
All right, while we're
Okay, can we
talking
go through
about
some of these
OCC,
names?
yeah. Okay, let's do the men first because inevitably I feel like we'll start talking more about the women just because we know that space more. But the men, my first thought was the US men are packing some heat this year. Historically, we have had strong performances. I think Jesh getting fifth last year and Nick Handel getting 11th is probably the best, like if you were to score it like a cross-country team, the American men have done. But
In
this
OCC.
year in OCC, sorry, in OCC, yeah. But yeah, this year, Christian Allen, Chad Hall, Nick Handel is back, Eli Hemming, and Jeshrin Small.
And I'm
Those
sure
are,
there's others too that like we just aren't on this list.
yeah, that aren't on this list. Like, I don't know if Nick Handel would have been on this list last year, and now he is, you know? So
Yeah.
that's really exciting to me because I think last year, was Katie Scheidt our only American woman in the top 10?
Rachel.
Oh, yeah,
Katie,
Rachel.
Rachel. Was Allie just outside or was she inside? I can't remember.
I think she was just outside, potentially.
Yeah, I think that it was just those two.
Okay. So, yeah, we had two top women. And then the year before that, we went 3-4-6, which was pretty sick. And so I'm kind of expecting, like, all of them can be in the top 10, like, have that
No.
capability. So, that's just going to be really, really exciting to see.
Another name that I am excited to see on this list is Anthony Felber
Oh,
from
nice.
France. Yeah, Anthony has run OCC before, but I feel like he tends to be like more focused obviously on the shorter events. So I just excited to see him get like more experience at this distance and like kind of see how it goes for him because he's a great athlete as we know. But yeah, this we'll put this I Run Far link in our show notes because it's a fun little article with like all
Yeah.
the
It is
top
really cool to
athletes.
see all of them. A couple other ones.
Oh, Darren Thomas is on here.
Oh yeah,
Sorry.
Darren. That was the other one.
Darren Thomas.
Darren, we are sorry. Yeah. That's another American. That's oh my gosh, that's gonna be so exciting.
That definitely has the ability to be in the top 10. We dude, American men, let's go.
I know. But then you got Francesco Puppi, second this last year. Antonio Martinez, who we did an episode with. He's been second and third the last couple or the last 2 years. Yeah, these are some crazy names. Tao Luo, he's from China. He was third in 2019, ninth in 2023. Martin and the Mar Matin, he's Swiss. He's on my Adidas Terrace team. He's like a high alpine guide who like climbs like the North Face or I don't know. He does some crazy mountaineering stuff. So yeah, this is gonna be a very, very exciting race.
Yeah, I'm like looking at all of them to make sure we're not missing another American, but I think that's all of them for now.
For now, yeah, this is a pre-preview because things can change.
Yeah, because I don't know like who, you know, in the US is like still trying to get a spot.
Totally.
There's got to be somebody that we know that we just don't know of.
Do you have, are you willing to
But
pick a top US man just from this pre-preview?
I mean, I think the easy answer is probably actually
It's not
my
easy.
first answer is going to be Eli, but like Chad Hall and Darren Thomas, you know, at in their like good days have given him a run for their money or a run for his money. So like I'm gonna say Eli, but you never know.
You
It
never
also depends
know.
on how much Eli races.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. And also Josh. I mean, he was our top American
oh
last
yeah,
year.
Josh.
He was right there. Like, he had an incredible race last year. So he has that experience. I think this will be his third time racing, if not fourth. And
Who's your top pick?
I was gonna say Josh or Eli. One of those two.
Yeah.
This is just for American men. This isn't like overall right now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We'll get into that months from now.
Yeah, exactly. But just, yeah, I'll just throw those out for now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And then on the women's side, obviously Danny and myself.
Obviously.
Don't forget it.
This list is kind of insane, though.
Yeah. So just for the US alone, we've got Rachel Drake, Danny Moreno, Bailey Kowalczyk, me, Tabor Hemming. There's got to be others that I'm like forgetting slash missing.
No, that's all I saw.
That's all that's on this list. But like, honestly, the thing about these lists a lot of times is that they're like missing athletes who are like pretty good, but didn't run a race that was like big enough to put them on this list.
Yeah, exactly. And
A
then,
name, Ingvild Kaspersen, dude, your teammate running OCC after Western States. That's pretty cool.
Rachel Drake too, though. Both of them.
Yeah.
I
Ingvild
mean,
won CCC last year, so it'll be interesting to see just like how she does at OCC this year.
yeah, her roots are in mountainous marathon-ish races. Like she's won Zagama, she's won like more of those very yeah, mountainous marathon races. And she ran 2:38 last year and just crushed that super fast 50K at the end of last year. So yeah, I think it'll just depend. You know, post recovery at Western States. I believe that's her first 100, as with Rachel. So
Yeah.
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But honestly, if there's anyone that could come back after Western States, it's Rachel Drake and Ingvild
Yeah.
Kaspersen.
Both very experienced and very strong athletes.
Yeah. And
And
then,
they, I
oh, sorry, go ahead.
was just gonna say they both train really smart too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we also have some Maya Buda. She was second at CCC when Blondine Leyondell set the record in 2022. Heck of a run. I remember seeing her in person leave Trient for that CCC race 2 years ago, and my mind was just blown. I didn't realize you could run those races that fast. Like Blondine had come
Yeah.
through, and I was like, what is going on? And then Samaya and then Abby Hall was like, you could still run at this point? I didn't realize. I was very naive too. I've gotten a lot more. I've learned a lot more about the 100K in just 2 years, but it just blew my mind. I'm like, how is she running that fast?
Love that.
And then Caitlin Fielder, just all around crusher,
Always there.
always there.
Yeah, always
Has
there.
second place at Zagama, second place at Mont Blanc. She was fourth last year at OCC, but she was third there 2 years ago. So very, very experienced at these types of races. Oyana Cortazar, who we just mentioned, the current and reigning champ queen, Toni McCann, who just blew our minds last year with her insane run, is back in OCC. I know that she was considering bumping up.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool to see her back there. And then, man, this list is insane.
Judith
Daniela
Wider.
and Judith Wider, or Judith Wider. Yeah, that's very
I'm
exciting.
yeah.
Because
She had a crusher year last year.
Worlds was like her longest race at that point.
So I think distance-wise, yes. Bailey was telling me that the Golden Trail final that they did in Nepal was like a 6 hour race. So I think that was like her
Oh.
longest time wise. And then Worlds was like her actual longest distance wise. So this will be her longest distance run by the time we get to OCC.
Yeah, unless she like does something before that, but I doubt it. I don't know what her schedule is right now. I'm gonna guess some mix of Golden Trail or something. But yeah, seeing Judith on this list honestly doesn't surprise me considering she signed with Hoka last year and
Yeah.
her logo is everywhere at this race. And then the Chinese rocket Miao Yao, who just goes out and
Crushes.
crushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
A
that
name,
is wild. Sorry, go ahead.
Julia Font. Julia
Yep.
Font is on this list. That's
Oh,
really exciting.
yeah. For some reason, I thought she ran it last year, but I guess she ran ETC.
Yeah, she ran ETC last year. She was seventh at the Trans Grand Canaria Marathon. She was just fifth at this most recent Sky Race. She did pretty well in the American races for Golden Trail. I don't remember what she finished, but she finished top 10 in both of them, I'm pretty sure. So she'll be, but I think this will be her longest race by far
Yeah,
because Trans Grand Canaria is just a marathon.
it is long time-wise though. But yes,
Yeah.
not 5, 6 hours.
No.
And then the other one I'm really interested about, I just started seeing her name recently, is Valerie Arsenault. Because look at her results. She has a third at JFK and a fourth at Speed Goat. So, and then she's gonna be at Canyon's 50K coming up in April. So that's gonna be cool.
Yeah. A little can our Canadians, so we'll adopt her as a North American, but not as a US athlete.
Yeah. But yeah, this list is insane. I mean, the first 10 women we mentioned, all very strong top 10s. And yeah, that's the pre-preview because again, like things can change.
It's March.
It's March, but we just wanted to touch upon it since the article came out. And yeah, as we get closer to the race, we'll dive deeper into it. And I don't know if people can still change, like my gut feels maybe if you talk to UTMB, it was like, hey, I really want to do CCC now. You might be able to
Yeah.
switch, but who knows? I don't know.
It's
I feel like you should
all
have
a
that
big guessing
freedom.
game.
I kind of annoyed you had to pick so early. Because what if
Yeah,
like
like
something
if you're
happens?
already, yeah, if something happens or like if you have already planned to be at that race, they're planning that number, like your body, into the weekend. Like I feel like moving around isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I feel like you should be
But
able to do
maybe
that.
not.
Yeah. Any more thoughts
I'm sure it'll
on?
change again.
Ooh, one more thing I'll note too is looking at the website. Remember last year there was the whole course kerscuffle. I don't know if that's a word, but it looks like it's back to the old course. So we'll see if
Oh,
that actually
cool.
happens, which
Yeah.
means the times might be back to similar to what they were 2 years
Normal.
ago, not as fast as they were this past year. They'll still be fast, but not
Yeah.
like as fast. So we'll see.
Yeah, because Danny was bummed that we missed like the most technical part or like the hardest climb or something specifically.
You know what? I had many meditation moments, thinking moments about that, and the consensus I came to was you can't repeat the past. We're always evolving, and that was a big learning moment for me. Am I happy that it's back? Sure. But even if it
Did
changes
I
again,
learn?
did I learn? Yes, I did learn. But it is nice to see because also that part is just so dang beautiful. Like the
Yeah,
change that they
that's where you
did
get all
was
the
cool.
pictures.
Yeah, exactly. It's what we really do it for. Forget what we talked about before. It's really about the pictures.
Yeah, I didn't love the change. Like we did that weird little back
Yeah, like the
trail that
grassy.
looked like they had just made it, and I was like, I'm gonna fall off this ridge.
How do
But
I
that's
pass
just me.
you?
I was having a bad day, so that was like the end of my day, and I was dying anyways.
Yeah, I didn't even make it there, so I didn't even have to deal with that.
I did make it there. I was just moving quite slowly by that point.
It.
Cool. Well, hopefully, you guys are excited for August 29th or whatever day that is.
Just getting real ahead.
While Danny's off at camp, I wanted to add just a few results that happened this last weekend. The USATF 50K championships were held in New York. It does not qualify anyone for a team this year, as there is only a 100K championship, not a 50K road championship. But those results are as follows. Rich Power won on the men's side in 3:36:28, followed by Aaron Heath in 3:39:53, and Rick Lee in 3:40:02. On the women's side, Helen Huang won the event in 4:18. Indira Schwarting was second in 4:43:39, and Julie Vadola was third in 4:58. There was also a race that happened in Spain this weekend. There was a 22K and a marathon at the Trail Cap de Cruz. Might be saying that wrong, but that the 22K results first on the men's side, it was Iu Puig in 1:36:35. On the women's side, Sarah Alonso won the 22K, followed closely by Emily Forsberg. And then in the marathon, the men's marathon was won by Thibaut Boronien in 3:08:17, and Marianne Hogan on the women's side in 3:38:17.
Anything else for today?
Yep. I don't think so. I think I mean, because there aren't Chuckanut is like the next race on the calendar, but we'll cover that, after it happens. And there aren't that many races going on right now, so there's not much to talk about. You and I aren't racing until like 6 weeks from now or something. So I think we're
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, I think we're good. One last reminder. Sign up for the SubHub headlines if you haven't already. You can click the link in our bio and actually see the newsletter that was sent out in March, and you could see our athlete of the month picks. So that's cool that we got to do that first version of that. And yeah, this has been the SubHub podcast brought to you by Free Trail.